The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio, waiting for your phone calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health. No matter what you did, you didn't do it the right way, so here's an opportunity. Let's see what we can do without drugs and surgery. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. And particularly, it's so cold outside. You need to sit down next to your radio receiver or on your iPhone or on your iPads and listen, because you're going to learn a whole lot more to make a difference. You know, we're coming up in basically about 24 hours or so, probably 30 hours. We're coming up to the end of the year, the end of 2017. And we're walking and marching and packing into 2018. And we're going to make an extraordinary year, one far better than we ever thought the rest of our, you know, prior existence could be. Well, guess what? You have to have a plan. You have to know what you're doing. You know how to move it forward, whether it's, you know, making your body better, making your mind better, making, you know, your energy at the top level. And anything is possible. I'm one of these crazy guys that believes that, you know, there's always a way. There's always a possibility. No matter where you are in your life, as long as you're breathing and you're above ground, you have the ability to shift and change. And so, talking about shift and changes, you know, I have to bring people in and we have to talk about things in the same light, in the same format. And, you know, someone who's near and dear to my heart, who's unfortunately had to listen to me for all of her years and has kind of been, you know, guided, and suddenly, you know, there's an insanity that goes along with listening to good old dad. Yes, none other than my daughter, Erin Marie Rozell Poe. Welcome, Erin.
Hi, Dad.
This is going to be fun.
It is.
Erin is a trainer, and she coaches, she does a lot of nutritional coaching, and we're going to talk about the commitments, resolutions that people have and fail to follow through with, if you will, so many times, when it's not necessary. And, you know, let's start out, you know, we're talking about that. We're going to talk about anybody's health problem in this light today. But let's talk about the difference between a resolution and a commitment.
There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, resolutions, they come and go. I mean, let's face it. As someone who's been coaching and working with people in the field of fitness now for 10 years, every January 1, I hear my New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose X amount of weight. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop eating at fast food restaurants. Okay, it's great intention, but what are you going to do to actually make it stick? And that's where come February, March, April, those gyms start to get a little less credit that they do on January 1.
Not so many people there anymore.
No, and actually it gets a little bit easier to breathe in the gym. However, as a trainer, it's frustrating because you see people come in with that initial high that always happens with New Year's resolutions. It's like everybody gets geared up for it. There's a lot of talk that goes into it. And they start off strong. They start off really strong. And you see these people there every single day working towards their resolution, not necessarily their goal. And then they get stuck. Either they stop seeing results or they lose the motivation because the hype has gone away. January 1 has come and gone. And yet, where are they? They have no idea of how they want to get to their goal.
They forgot.
They forgot.
You know, here's the situation. I look at it this way. You know, from a resolution is a should.
Mm-hmm.
You know we should. You know, if you ask somebody who has a great body and they have a tremendous amount of energy and so forth, they don't have a lot of shoulds.
No.
But they have a lot of musts.
Yes.
And that's what a commitment is. A commitment is a must do no matter what. You know, nothing's going to get in the way. They're going to get it done. And both of these resolutions and these commitments, these shoulds and their musts, you know, a dear friend of mine, Tony Robbins, once said, you know, when you have all these shoulds, you keep shoulding and shoulding and shoulding, you're going to shoot all over yourself. And, you know, that's a problem because the thing of it is it's so vague, right?
Right.
But here's the deal. Be, do, have. You know, we're looking for things to do ultimately to produce this gorgeous body, this great energy, get rid of the sickness type of thing. We want to do. But as you said, come February, March, everybody lost that because they haven't structured the number one commitment, and that's to themselves. That's the B portion. How do I become the person who will continually do those things that end up with whatever I said I wanted to get done?
That's right. And, you know, there's a very sad, sad statistic out there. Believe it or not, it's only 8% of people that actually succeed in their New Year's resolutions. It's 8%.
8%.
8%. It's that low. And really, the reason those 8% are so successful is because they've got it mapped out. They've got it mapped out from a daily check-in to a weekly check-in to a monthly check-in. They've even gone as far as finding somebody to assist in their health goals, whether it's a nutritionist, a trainer, you know, going to see the chiropractor. You know, they've actually made a game plan and they've stuck to it. And then they've got people on top of that to hold their feet to the fire to keep them going.
You know, there's an old movie, you know, the guys at hanging out of the window, and I can't remember the name of the movie. It'll probably come to me pretty soon. I guess that goes along with the decades I've been in practice. But the guy's yelling, you know, I've had enough. I'm not going to take it anymore, right? So once you get to that commitment, but the thing of it is, what's the big why behind it? Why do you want this? What is it that you're trying to achieve? You know, and the whole thing is structured on pain pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get enough pain in somebody's life. I can do it within a short consultation time with the patient,
right,
and I can get them to commit temporarily. But unless they put a goal that is something that they want far more than something that they're moving away from,
mm-hmm,
they're going to fail. The guy that says, you know, I'm too fat, I want to get the weight off, or I don't, you know, I feel lousy, I've got to stop this lousy feeling. Instead of, they've got to restructure that and say, you know, I want to be somebody who is, and I'm making these numbers up, obviously, you know, 185 pounds at 9% body fat, and I have tremendous energy, and it's measured by this. It's very tangible, very specific. And the question then becomes, somebody who does these things, you know, how do they, you know, what do they do every day?
Right.
You know, when you see your clients coming in, you know, the first of the year, they've had all these commitments that they, or all these resolutions that they're making, you know, in between their bottles of champagne and so forth and saying that I'm going to do these things. How do you structure them, Aaron? How do you get them to the place to commit to something much more than they've been doing up until this point in time?
I make them describe to me what it is that they want to achieve. It's not about, Aaron, I want to get in shape. Okay, what is it that you want to achieve? Why is it that you want to achieve? What is it about yourself that is bothering you, either looking this way, feeling this way, going about your day, just not feeling like the person that you're supposed to be? I actually make them make the verbal commitment to me. And then if I've got somebody who's a little bit boneheaded, which I've run into them over the years, I actually will hand them a journal and say, write it down for me. And then I make them bring that in there with their commitments. And we sign off on it. We do weekly check-ins. We do daily check-ins. It's all about getting them to vocalize what the pain is that they're trying to get away from, what the pleasure is that they're seeking, and then holding them to it, making them live in the moment, work towards their goals, but making it in such a way that it's attainable and they can reach it successfully.
So accountability partner.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I would not like to be accountable to you.
little
people tell me that we refer to you all the time, that they look at me and said, you're going to send me to your daughter.
Yeah, I've been called a few interesting names over the years.
Yes, you have.
But they keep coming back, which is the great part.
I know. And you do a great job in turning them around.
Thank
you know,
you.
Erin has a Facebook page that if you're interested in seeing some of the things that she does and some of the exercises that you can get yourself into, go on Facebook and go The Tangible Body, The Spiritual Soul, and you'll see Erin, and she's there virtually every couple of days.
Yep.
And doing different forms of exercise and showing you how to do them and motivating you and so forth. And obviously, you can always get a hold of her. But I look at these things when you post them, and I'm saying to myself, okay, all right, I got to start doing a little bit more than I did. Yes. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you and see if we can put you on the right track. We're going to talk a little bit about nutrition today. We're going to talk about some of the things that are out there. Before the day goes on, Aaron, you do a lot of things with essential oils, and there's a whole government assault right now on homeopathics, essential oils, mm-hmm. and so forth. I want to touch upon that before the show's over today because it's egregious.
Right.
It's at the point where the government, the FDA, is trying very hard to take away your choices, your capacity to make decisions for your health. You know, years ago, I wrote a book called Ageless Health. Health is a do-it-yourself program. And that was structured for one specific reason, to allow patients to have command, to be the captain of their ship, to be able to do what they need to do, make their own decisions moving forward with a knowledge base.
Right.
And unfortunately, that is slowly being eroded across the board, and it's really not okay. Aaron, when you get into, let's get back into this be do have, you know, with your client base, people who want to get back into shape and they want to give things up and so forth. What do you see with them? And, you know, this goes across the board, whether we're treating patients in office or you're working with them, you know, in a workout setting. What do you see is the biggest sabotage?
Believe it or not, them themselves can be the biggest sabotage. I kind of call it the rebellious teenager phase. They'll start off really strong and they are doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, literally to the letter that I tell them to do. And they are food logging and they've got their calories in check and they've got their exercise routine done and they start to see their goals. And then all of a sudden they start losing weight and they've gotten some new clothes. And then what happens is they don't have to be as careful in their mind. They decide, well, I'm going to go out to this party. I'm going to go out for dinner. I'm going to not work out this week. And then all of a sudden, here we are 2 months later, and they are ricocheting their weight back in the other direction. And I call that the rebellious teenager phase. It's because most teenagers do that. They're going to go against what their parents are telling them to do. I'm the trainer, aka the parent. I'm telling them to do this. They've seen success, so they're going to go in the other way because they know what's best at that point.
So just put their feet in the mud and kind of push back.
Yep.
That's an ugly thing, but it gets them back to right where they were to begin. You know, it's an identity situation.
It is.
It really is about who they see themselves as. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to that be, do, have situation.
Right.
You know, you can't continue something unless what it is that you're doing is totally a reflection of your ownership.
Right.
Of the internal piece. And I can say this, you know, one of the people that you and I know very well, Kirk Cousins,
mm-hmm.
Kirk is an amazing example of somebody who is totally committed.
Right.
You know, somebody who does what he needs to do because it's for an outcome. Obviously, he wants to be the, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, but he also is committed to making sure that what he does is in tandem with everything that he does structurally, chemically, emotionally, structurally, chemically, spiritually.
Right.
The guy is, you know, really an example. Setting aside football, he's an amazing example of someone who has a, you know, in, having said that, Julia's wife is the gatekeeper. I mean, she beats the guy if he, you know, if he goes off a little bit. But, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, he has this vision of who he should be,
mm-hmm.
and he has a game plan, and
right.
he has it locked down in time frames and segments and so forth. And I know that's what you do with your clients as well. You know, it's the commitment given a game plan and a time frame that is achievable.
Right. And you got to do check-ins. You have to do check-ins either with yourself or if you're working with somebody, they've got to hold you accountable. If you're not with somebody who can't hold you accountable, find somebody else to work with. There are good trainers and then there are bad trainers.
Yeah. And there are people that just want to, you know, check in, show your machine, and, you know, say, okay, you know, let me have your money and we'll go from there. It's not okay. You've got to have an accountability partner. You have to have somebody who's going to hold you responsible for the commitment, not the resolution, the commitment. So tomorrow night, when you make all of these commitments, not resolutions, these absolute, you know, I'm going to do it because, and you have the greatest why in the world, these are the steps. We're going to cover those steps again. We're coming up to a break in studio. My guest, Aaron Poe. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. It's cold outside, folks. You need to stay inside nice and warm. Listen to the program because by the time we're done, we're going to make you very warm and focused and motivated and be able to do the things that you need to do. Why? Because we're talking about New Year's commitments, not resolutions. And the difference between that is a must instead of a should. In studio, somebody who is my taskmaster. See, the tables turn over the years. First you're the parent, and then you become this student, something like that. My guest in studio, none other than my daughter, Erin Marie Roselle Poe.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
So we're talking about, Erin is one of the, in my opinion, and in many people's opinion, one of the better trainers in the Washington metropolitan area. Erin has grown up, obviously, with our stuff in applied kinesiology, and she knows the body's mechanics and physiology, and she does nutritional coaching as well as the work that she does. Interesting, you can get a hold of her on Facebook, The Tangible Body, The Spiritual Soul. She and her husband, Dr. Leonard Poe, are out in the Leesburg area and Broadlands, and they have a practice out there, and it's called Core Chiropractic or Core Concepts Chiropractic, something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, you can find them out there. But anyway, we're talking about New Year's resolutions here. I want to start it and get into it. We have a short segment right now. Let's talk about, you know, the mindfulness of getting well, training, you know, commitments and so forth. Everybody hears the word mindfulness. What does that really mean?
It's being present. It's actually being in the moment. And this is a huge side of fitness that's actually neglected. You know, we've got the chemical piece going with nutrition and, you know, chemically going on with what's inside the body. We've got the physical piece with the actual exercise. But then there's this whole mindful piece. And really what they're talking about is quieting your mind, being, you know, a little slower, doing some breathing. You know, you've heard the term meditation. There's, you know, different types of meditation, but that's what it really is about. It's about being present. And believe it or not, too much exercise can sometimes be a bad thing if you don't have that mindful piece in there, because you're working on this high of, you know, cortisol and stress, and your body can't distinguish between good stress and bad stress. So why do we do the mindful piece? To slow down, to allow ourselves to kind of catch up with ourselves with the day-to-day running around, but also with the new form of exercise that you may or may not be doing. You've got to start being present and mindful of your breath, of what your body's doing, of what your muscles are doing. If you're recovering, if you're not recovering, all of that goes into that whole mindful piece of things.
You know, I played sports all the way through college, and, you know, the professional athletes that are out there, obviously at a level that, you know, they can achieve only if they know how to create that mindfulness presence.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who played sports, here's what it really looks like. Have you ever been in a situation where you're playing whatever sport it is, whether it's basketball, whether it's tennis, or whether it's, you know, you played football at one point, or you're playing lacrosse? It doesn't make any difference. All of a sudden, everything in front of you is like in slow-mo. It's mm-hmm. in slow motion. It's just quiet, and you see things, and you can react to that slow motion instantaneously. It's not chaotic. It's not confusing anymore. It's just a playing field that now you can move anything around in. And that's the extraordinary athletes, from the Michael Jordans of years gone by to, you know, the Kirk Cousins of today.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys that can willfully slow down their play. But when it comes to all of us, mm-hmm. you know, our weekend warrior guys, you know, that we go into the gym and we do things, we can create that, but it takes time to develop and train that.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, this isn't something that you wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm going to be more mindful. Well, no, there's a little prep that has to go into it. You've got to literally just focus on the task at hand. What is it that you are trying to be mindful for? If you are in the gym, you know, there's a reason those mirrors are there. It's not, you know, to flex the muscles necessarily. It's really so you can be mindful and watching what your body is doing. So you can be so engaged with how each and every one of those muscles move during a rep and a set. You actually are living in that slow motion moment. You know, it's really being present in yourself, but at a slower speed, if you will.
You know, that's probably the best way of putting it, because that's truly what happens. You know, when we even deal with patients with rehabilitation, we tell them, when you're doing this stretching, when you're doing this exercise, visualize the muscle movement and see everything firing. We give them this capacity to do that. Years ago with cancer patients, they came up with the visualization of these little Pac-Man creatures, the white blood cells going and eating the cancer up.
Right.
And they found that it was exponentially far superior than anything else that they could possibly do. If they did that piece with everything else and anything else, they found that the patient responded far, far better. We're going to come up to the second half of the program. We're going to talk a little bit more about this piece, but we're also going to start talking a little bit about nutritional pieces and how to kind of put this all together. This program's for you. 2018 is coming up. We're going to make it a great year. We're going to have all kinds of things for you here at Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. More educational pieces throughout the year, so don't go away. Pay attention. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to almost 2018. I hope you have a great New Year's tomorrow night. Please be very, very careful. Watch out for, you know, all those people who are play acting on the streets. Not a good thing. You know, so, you know, home parties are really great. You know, we're going to hang around. We're going to have chili tomorrow night. We're going to watch a stupid movie. And there'll be family, and there'll be my godchildren, and we're just going to be present. So you have to do the same thing. And then what you're going to do is you're going to sit down with a paper and pencil, and you're going to write out your New Year's commitments. And you're going to decide how those align with who you are as a human being. And then here's the other piece. You've got to give yourself a big enough why you're going to do this. Because if the why isn't strong enough, you're going to be one of these people around March that are not going to be doing what you said you were going to be doing anymore. And it's going to fall off.
Right.
You know, my guest in studio today is none other than the one that controls my life at this point, my daughter, not my wife, but my daughter, Erin Marie Rozelle Pope. Erin is a trainer and one of the, even if I have to say so, one of the most incredible ones, because we taught her our stuff over a period of many years, so she understands applied kinesiological procedures probably as well as most doctors do. And, you know, Erin has an intensity about her, if any of you know who she is. And you can go on to Facebook and you can see her at the Tangible Body, the Spiritual Soul, and you'll see she offers on every couple of days basis, you put videos on there of exercise and you do demonstrations and you show people what to do. And obviously they can get a hold of you as well if they have any questions.
Right.
It's important. But Erin, here's the situation. You know, we'll get back into how to create this game plan, but there's a lot of our listeners that are sitting out there and say, I can't get to the gym. Or, you know, they either can't physically or they can't because of their lifestyles. They can't because it's a push away. But they want to do something. And how do you begin to get somebody who, say that, you know, they have some impairment, or somebody who is, you know, is older and they haven't done anything for a long period of time, but they're at a place they know that if they move, they know that they can get better, they know they can get off the medications, they know that their blood pressure will drop, they know that their blood sugars will go down. How do you structure something for those people?
Well, the first place I start is I remove the word can't from their vocabulary. In fact, I don't even allow my own kids to say that word. That word is toxic. And then secondly, from there, I go with, it doesn't matter who the client is, whether they are 90 or 19, it's not a one-size-fits-all program. It never has been with me. And I think that's part of the reason I kind of stand apart from a lot of different trainers. I don't cookie-cutter people. If you are limited for whatever the reason is, due to injury, due to just general immobility, there's a lot of easy ways you can start a program. The first and foremost important thing, though, is you've got to have a decent assessment done so you can understand what's going on with your body. You may have an idea, but it's so important to have an outside person actually looking at you to say, hey, you've got this going on. I'm seeing this happen with your body when you move, when you stretch. If somebody can't raise your arms, well, guess what? They're not going to be doing shoulder presses. It's just not going to happen. So they've got to have an actual clear idea of what their body is capable of doing at the moment, and then as well, what their body will be capable of doing as they progress through a program. And I'm not talking someone needs to start working out 5 days a week for an hour at a time. That's ludicrous. We're talking very basic. We're talking range of motion 1 to 2 times a week, probably starting with just getting up and out of a chair can be a workout in itself. Working with some basic stretches. You have to understand what the scenario is, understand what's going on with your own body before you progress into any workout program. But again, it does not have to be something that you see on TV or in the magazines. It can be accustomed to you.
You know, there's a lot of people that unfortunately are carrying more weight around their midsection, their derriere, than they should.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting is what they do.
Yeah.
And you take a look at their ankles and their legs, and they're swollen and so forth. And, you know, to tell them that they're going to get out of the house and they're going to go get somebody to train them at that point is not something that they can do.
Right.
And so you said earlier, and you know, I want you to extrapolate on this a little bit, because a lot of people are overweight emotionally.
Yeah.
And they're overburdened emotionally.
Right.
And so they got to start, and as you said, getting up out of the chair, but doing it repetitively instead of, you know, sitting there and getting everything brought to you. Make the commitment to get up and go get it.
Right.
And maybe once an hour and nothing more. Once an hour, get up, walk around, go back, and sit down, mm-hmm. starting those pieces.
Yeah, it can really be that simple for somebody. I mean, literally, if they are limited to a chair the majority of the day, if they were to set a timer, and even on their phone, 9 times out of 10, somebody's got a phone these days, set the timer. When it goes off every 60 minutes, you get up out of your chair and you walk for a minute. And it does not have to be a speed walk. It could literally be you walking in a circle, just getting your body mobile. In fact, they've even said now that sitting is the new cancer, or the new cause of cancer. The new smoking, pardon me.
It's new smoking.
It's the new smoking. And it's because that's what has happened to our society. You've taken the human body, which is an amazing machine, if you will, which has been designed to move since we were born, and we've created a culture where we just sit and our bodies are literally being destroyed.
I see that every day in the practice. The people that actually can get into our office to do something, you know, their headspaces have to be changed before they even are willing to go under a care program, as mm-hmm. we call it, to be able to change, get rid of their pain, get their bodies back, get their ulcerative colitis squared away, get, you know, all the things that we see on a day-to-day basis. But here we have people at home. They're on tons of medications. We know that people in nursing homes who have never, ever, ever done anything, and they're on stacks of medications, they take them and they begin rehabilitative training programs with them that start out with walking. You know, I went to, as you know, and your mother and I went to Kent State University many years ago, and they did a trial there, which was very unique for the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they took people who were stroke victims and cancer victims and had cardiovascular diseases and so forth, and all they did, and some of these people couldn't walk 50 feet.
Right.
And they got them up and they started walking them.
Mm-hmm.
And they started walking them 50 feet and then 100 feet. And then pretty soon it was 100 yards. And pretty soon it was a quarter of a mile. And then pretty soon some of these people were able to actually run a little bit and run a little further. And what they found is in the greatest majority of cases, every one of them improved, but an increase in cardiovascular and brain circulation and increased immune response. Across the board, exercise is critical.
Right.
If we didn't do anything else but exercise, that can solve so many different problems.
It's amazing what it can solve. I mean, if say you have the scenario where someone really can't get out of a chair without help, well, guess what they can do? They can actually sit there and they could do toe raises. They can march in place while they're sitting there. There are ways to work within the scenario that you're currently in. It's never an I can't scenario for people. So it's one of those things where you first have to realize that whatever your situation is, you have to change the mental piece, because that goes hand in hand with the physical piece. If you believe you can't do something, you won't. It's that simple. I actually will yell at my clients, sort of, if I hear the word I can't on the last two reps, because I hear I can't, they get four more reps from me, because the I can't is what stopped those last two reps from happening. And it doesn't matter if you are a child, an adolescent, an adult, and senior, the moment you throw I can't into the vocabulary, you've already done yourself in.
Yeah, the mind doesn't know the difference between an actual experience and one that you think about. And if that's your perception, that's your reality.
It is.
You know, so it's really important that you begin to change. And I know that you use music with your clients as well.
I do. Music plays a huge role in terms of just lightening the mood. You can be playing a song 1 minute and all of a sudden you have somebody falling asleep. So I will change the station and I'll pep it up to something a little bit more productive, let's go Rocky Balboa theme song, because I'm a Rocky fan, as you know, Dad. And all of a sudden, you know, Eye of the Tiger comes on, and these people are moving. Even my seniors get excited about music like that. It lights a fire inside of them. And all of a sudden, this unknown fire that they didn't even think they had in them is what's propelling them through their workouts. And they get done after an hour saying, I can't believe I did that. It's amazing the impact music has on the body.
It's, you know, we forget about that, and we forget, and it's not, you know, it's not rap.
Nope.
You know, it's not hardcore rock.
Nope.
You know, there's a whole different piece that has to reach the inner core of who you are, motivate you through the process, and get you moving. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. My guest in studio, Erin Marie Roselle Poe, trainer and the person that makes sure that I keep moving in the direction that I keep moving in. And, you know, it seems the tables turn. And I just, you know, everybody told me it was going to happen, but I didn't believe it was going to happen like this. You know, it's a good thing that you live about 25 miles from me, because otherwise I'd be in real trouble. We're talking about exercise and the effect that it has physiologically in the body. And the truth of it is, look, exercise will change virtually everything and anything about who you are and what happens. It changes your attitude. It changes your capacity to do things. It'll get you off your medications. Mm-hmm. It'll change how your body handles so many different things. And to ignore, I mean, we're stuck in a society today that we go from the house to the car to the office to the car to the house into bed, and we start the day all over again.
Right.
People don't move.
No, we don't move. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again. We are designed to move. You know what's interesting? If you've ever looked at like an 18-month-old, they can hold a deep squat beautifully. I mean, they just sink right down into their heels. Their back is up. Their head is up. We're designed to do that, you know? And so it baffles me that we lose that mobility as we get older, if we're born with it. And unfortunately, it is a lot of our culture. It's our lifestyle. You know, we are in a very electronic savvy age where we rely on technology to turn the TV on and off. I mean, shoot, we have an app for our phones that can now turn off lights in the house, if you will. So we don't even have to do that anymore. I mean, we are constantly taking away a piece of our mobility. And that's why we've got so many of these diseases running rampant through our culture. You know, it's amazing. Exercise can actually reverse a form of diabetes as well as osteoporosis. And I deal with people all the time who've got those two diseases, as well as it can help improve heart health and cardiovascular health and just overall feeling good. You don't have to make it your goal to be the next fitness queen or king that's going to be in, you know, the muscle magazines. You can make it your fitness goals just to be healthy, just to be strong, just to be able to play with your kids, your grandkids, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be these elaborate dreams that you don't think are that attainable. Make it realistic. Make it something that you actually see yourself doing, something that you want. Make it so that the pain that you've had of not having that in your life becomes so powerful and so profound that you want to move past it.
It's important that you develop that mindset. And, you know, this is something that we talk about in our family all the time. And we're sitting there and, you know, you were an athlete growing up. Your brother was an athlete mm-hmm. growing up. You know, my lifestyle has been that for all the years that before and during practice. And it continues to be that way. And, you know, I've been to China twice.
Right.
And you talk about cultural changes and differences.
Right.
And what impressed me the first and second time that I was there, and maybe going back at the end of this year as well, when I was in Shanghai, you know, we were there touring the hospitals that do Eastern and Western medicine. We were doing grand rounds and participating in a lot of different things. So every morning, we were down by the river in Shanghai, mm-hmm. and I would get up in the morning and go to the river, and here there's hundreds of people. Young people, little kids, old people who were in their 90s, mm-hmm. and they're all doing Tai Chi.
Yeah.
And very slowly, very gently, you know, very methodically, and what's, you know, in a form that it was in harmony with their environment.
Right.
And you can see that some of them, you know, a lot of them were dressed in traditional garb, but a lot of them were just dressed in business suits.
Right.
And they would take off their jacket and they would, you know, they would sit there, and then after this half hour that they were engaged in this, they would grab their bag and their jacket, and they were off, and they wouldn't. It's a whole different mindset that we do not have in this country.
Right.
And subsequently, interestingly enough, even though China has 1.6 billion people and the poverty level is absurd there, when you take the people who are imbued in this type of activity, their health index, because of that, their clarity of mind, because of that, far supersedes what happens in this country.
You know, there was an interesting study that happened, I believe it was in Texas, where they quote-unquote cured ADHD in children. How did they do that? They allowed them to have more recess. Go figure. They allowed the kids to actually get up and go have extra time running and playing and moving their bodies. Well, yeah, that's going to curb a lot of that ADHD-type behavior because kids can't sit still. Their bodies are designed to move. We are taking that from our children where we are forcing them to give up recess, which is vital for brain health in children especially. They have to move.
So in other words, when I was in Catholic school growing up, that if the nuns had let me go out more often, I wouldn't have gotten those rulers that I got on a periodic basis?
Well, that's debatable, Dad.
Oh, thanks a lot. You know, maybe next time I'm not going to invite you on the program. My guest in studio is, I'm not even going to introduce you anymore, my daughter, Erin Marie Roselle Poe. She's a trainer. She's a nutritional coach. Erin practices out in the Broadlands and practices with her husband, Dr. Leonard Poe. And they have a practice out there called Core Concepts Chiropractic. And Erin's Facebook page is The Tangible Body, The Spiritual Soul. Check it out because she puts videos on it every couple of days and you can follow through. You can watch. You can join her and do some things. And obviously, if you'd like to get a hold of her, all you got to do is, you know, send her a note and she will respond to you. We're coming up to a break, and this has been a fun program because we're coming up to 2018 and we have to set our commitments to ourselves and what we're going to do, but we have to have a big enough why. We're going to talk about that and we're going to set it in stage for you as soon as we come back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live, as you do every coming up next week, Sunday at 12 o'clock. Yep, Redskin season is over tomorrow. And obviously, we're being preempted. That's why we're on Saturday at 4 o'clock. But starting next week, we'll be back at our same old time, 12 noon, 12 high on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you on the West Coast listening to us, 3 hours difference. You know how to do the math. And those of you who are listening through Armed Forces Radio or on the computer and elsewhere, thank you very, very much. And, you know, all of you that are serving our country, thank you for your service. We appreciate it. 2018, we hope, is going to be a much more peaceful time in this country. And, you know, with the love that we have for each other and for the things that we hold dear, we will make that happen. In studio, my guest, my daughter, Erin Marie Roselle Poe. She is a trainer, and we're talking about the commitments that people will be making tomorrow night. And, you know, we're kidding back and forth today, but this is the type of thing that we have done in our family, you know, ongoing.
Right.
And the things that we've achieved and the things that we're able to do is that it makes a commitment, but the commitment can only be made when you have a powerful why and a big enough vision, an end product, an end place to go towards. Erin, how do you set the stage for these commitments? People are coming up now. What are you going to tell them to do?
So, like you said earlier, get a piece of paper out. You cannot keep this in your head. You have to put it out on paper, make it tangible, something that you can actually reach for, see it every day. You're going to put this somewhere you can see, either in the bathroom, you can put it in the kitchen, put it multiple places, keep it with you so you're constantly looking at it. And how you're going to break it down is, like I said earlier, you need it to be very specific, from a day-to-day activity to weekly to monthly. If it's day, you need to figure out, okay, what is the type of exercise I'm going to be doing? Are you going to be walking? Are you going to be doing some strength training? Are you going to be doing yoga? What is it specifically you're going to do? And then how much time are you going to commit daily to doing that exercise? The next piece you're going to go into is your weekly commitment. You have to have a weekly commitment. So how many days a week are you actually going to commit to exercise, to your nutritional goals? You have to be realistic too. If you put 7 days a week down and just call it a day, bottom line, you're going to fail. You have to be as detailed as possible. So if you're going to join a gym, fantastic. Get the group fitness schedules, figure out classes that you want to get involved in, schedule it out on your weekly goals. And then you move into your monthly check-ins. This is where working with somebody becomes awesome, because then you can say, hey, look what I've done. And you show it to somebody. They help to hold you accountable to your daily goals and your weekly goals, even to the point of, if you fall off the wagon, let's say one day, they're going to say, hey, what happened here? it holds you accountable to make whatever that monthly goal is for yourself, where you see yourself at the end of 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. They're going to be that person to say, hey, why didn't you hit this day? Why didn't you do that?
You know, one of the things, we talked about pain, pleasure,
right,
and things that move you forward. Now, you know, we're setting these commitments. We have a why, because, you know, that why has to be, I'm on a slug. I don't have any energy. I feel like I'm dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want to be more than that.
Right.
So here's the thing that continues, you know, to lose ground. We get a little bit better and we say, well, I'm there. I forget about it and I don't have to do this anymore, or things get in the way. So if you're really disgusted enough,
mm-hmm,
with where you are and what's happened, and think about, you know, think about it this way. You know, what's motivating you to get it done? Is it the pain that you're in? Is it the list of 14 different medications that you're on? Is it the fact that your brain doesn't work anymore? Or is it, as we said earlier, that big, huge midsection and derriere that you got? So one of the things I tell my patients, and I swear I tell them to do this, is that go into a room where, it's, you know, cameras click on their own now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go up against the wall and you take all your clothes off except for your underwear and you click, 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 and you post those in your bathroom,
yep,
and you post them on your refrigerator door.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when you open that door and you want to go in and you want to grab something you know you shouldn't be touching, you take a good look at what it's done to you up in those points. Take a look in the morning. And then here's the motivation. Many of us, when we were younger or some years before, have a picture of us that we really liked and appreciated about ourselves. Put that one up and then go get a picture of somebody who's really done what it is that you want to do and put that there. So now you've got the thing that's pushing you away from and the thing that's motivating you to do.
Right.
So that's another example of things that you can get done. We're coming up to that break, unfortunately, but fortunately, we'll be back next week on Sunday, 12 high noon, same place, same old time. Have a very, very happy new year. I love you all. See you next week. Bye.